Join Capital Group CEO Mike Gitlin for a new monthly edition of the Capital Ideas Podcast. It's your look inside one of the world's largest asset managers. Subscribe wherever you get your podcasts. Invest 30 minutes today. American Funds Distributors, Inc.
Inspiring interviews with today's top landlords. This is the Rental Income Podcast. And now, Dan Lane.
Little by little, our lives are changing because of the coronavirus. I mean, who would have thought, even a month ago, that basically every school in this country would be closed, restaurants will be closing down, sporting events will be canceled, concerts canceled. I mean, it's really incredible how quickly our world is changing. And I wanted to do a show today to talk about how the coronavirus is affecting landlords. So joining us on the show today is Fleming Schutrumpf. He's a landlord in Colorado. He's been with us before on the show. You may remember Fleming. But he has started to see some effect in his business because of the coronavirus. So we're going to talk about what's happening in his business and how we can prepare, because I really think that the next 3 to 6 months are probably going to be tough times for us as landlords. So I want to talk about what we can do to try to make the next few months easier for us. So let's take a really quick break. We'll thank our sponsor. We'll come right back and we'll talk to Fleming. The first step in buying a rental property is to get pre-qualified. And I would suggest you work with a lender that specializes in working with investors, because the last thing you want to have happen is to get to closing and find out the money's not there and you can't close. The lender that I recommend is Chaley Ridge from Ridge Lending Group. She's a nationwide lender and she'll pre-qualify you for free if you mention Rental Income Podcast. Find out more today. Contact Chaley at ridgelendinggroup.com. That's R-I-D-G-E. lendinggroup.com. NMLS 42056. I know things are changing pretty quickly with the coronavirus and the way it's affecting the economy. Fleming, how has it affected you and your rentals so far?
I've been seeing a number of impacts. The first one is with my vacancies. I have two vacancies right now, one of which is a single family house that's actually costing me $2,600 a month to keep vacant. And so after this call, I will be driving out there to meet with a couple of prospects. And okay, so I've been choosing to not let the hysteria get to me. And so I'm braving whatever exposure risks there may be of meeting with a small number of prospects to try and get those houses rented.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's kind of a fine line. I mean, it's like, so in the back of your head, are you thinking, well, you know, I wonder if these people are sick, or you just kind of looking them over and, you know, if they look healthy, just kind of taking the chance that they're probably fine.
I think it's that. I just got back from Dubai and Europe, and I think coughing is the main way of spreading the virus. And so to really stay far away from people who are coughing, to not shake hands, to not rub my eyes or my mouth or my nose or anything like that, and just using general kind of sound practices, the same thing we would do at the grocery store.
Yep. Okay. All right. That's good. So it's not slowing your business at all as far as doing showings, but you have had a tenant that recently had to move out.
Yes. So I think it is slowing my business in the way you just mentioned with the tenant moving out. And I think far less people are applying and expressing interest in vacancies. But what you alluded to is fascinating. A really wonderful tenant. She's been my tenant for about 5 years. She manages a yoga studio, and the yoga studio owners just made the decision to indefinitely suspend classes. And so she's out of a job and she doesn't know when it'll come back. And she's living pretty close to the wind in terms of paycheck to paycheck. And she's like, I have to move out and move in with friends or family.
Right.
And it's sad for me because she locked in a 3-year lease and has a great deal. And I can get more money for it when it vacates. But she's a great tenant and I'd rather have her stay. And
sure,
so it's on a personal level. I feel for her and I feel, and I wonder how many other people that work in any kind of hospitality or education or kind of people-intensive businesses are going to get affected by this.
Yeah, I mean, a lot of industries are struggling. I mean, obviously, the cruise lines and the airlines and restaurants, and it's probably just going to ripple through the economy. So I'm sure there's going to be more of that coming up. But like, so how did you build the relationship with her to make her come to you proactively and say, hey, things have changed, I need to move out, versus this turning into an eviction and being something that's going to cost you a lot of money?
I think it's a credit to her, but also to both of us. She lived at a different property, and then she wanted to move there. And I bent some rules that I would normally have in place for people I don't know, and treated her very fairly. And she knows that. And so okay. We have a good relationship. And I also think, she's a yoga teacher. She aims to be conscious and do the right thing in the world. And it's working out for both of us.
That's great. Now, how do you feel about proactively reaching out to tenants? I know that there's just a lot of uncertainty right now, and there might be a lot of tenants that maybe don't know if they're going to get their next paycheck, or know if they're going to get sick, or know what's going to happen. Do you think it's a good idea to proactively reach out to tenants and just let them know that you're there and you'll work with them if they get into a tight spot? Or do you think it's better just to not say anything and deal with it when it comes up?
That's a fabulous question. And actually, what I've been monitoring is that a number of municipalities are looking at instituting possible eviction freezes.
Yeah.
Due to coronavirus. And so I kind of like your suggestion of doing it more proactively and not letting regulation take care of it. I've noticed in Colorado, the regulatory climate against landlords has shifted dramatically, and really against landlords, with bills that you can't charge a late fee before the middle of the month, and bills that you can't check if a prospect has ever been evicted.
Right.
With bills that 3-day notice for late rent now has to be a 10-day notice. So possibly regulation could be worse for landlords than just working things out amicably with tenants. I'm not sure what to say there, because I think a number of people should and do have savings and can weather it. And as landlords, we need to have savings and cash reserves and need to be able to weather it.
Right. Yeah, in times like this, it really makes you look smart if you put some money aside. I know a lot of times it's tempting to, when you get some money saved up, to go out and buy the next rental, but this really shows how important it is and why you really need to make sure you have a cash reserve.
Yes, and most of all, because it's been a great time for real estate, but it's also meant prices have increased dramatically to where the rental returns have really dipped for people who have bought recently. Right. And so it's actually quite challenging to create reserves just off operating cash flows.
Right.
And so I'm worried for, all the people that are in my business that have less spread and therefore less reserves.
Yeah. So now what do you think someone should do if somebody maybe has a tenant that is running into some tough times with their job? I mean, you want to work with them and you want to be flexible, but the reality is most people are going to have a mortgage payment. You've got taxes, you've got insurance, repairs on the property. Like, how do you think we should balance that line of wanting to help our tenants, but also needing to look out for ourselves?
I think it's a really fine line, and there's really no good answer. And I actually had another family move out last Wednesday, and they actually had gotten behind on rent to the tune of almost $5,000. And they finally realized they aren't in a position to pay it back. And so they just moved out. Mm-hmm. And that saved me $500 in eviction costs and possibly 5 weeks in extra time of them occupying the unit.
Right.
And so I think anytime one can kind of shake hands on things and not go the court way and go the high conflict way, it's better and cheaper for all parties.
Right. Or maybe in this environment, maybe bump elbows or something instead of shaking hands.
Exactly.
But yeah, I think that's a good point. I mean, I think the key here to get through this is maybe going to make sure you have that communication with your tenant to keep the open dialogue going and to work with them. And, you might even have to take it case by case. I mean, Some people are obviously going to take advantage of this, and other people are sincerely going through a tough time, and you can work with them. But I think you maybe have to look case by case, and you know, that's where that relationship with your tenant comes in. Now, what about, I know that you survived the last recession, and you know, who knows that this is going to lead to a recession. Is there anything that we can do right now to prepare for that? I mean, obviously if you had some savings, that's going to come in useful right now, but is there anything else that we can do right now to kind of reposition ourselves?
Yes, I think, and the right now at some level may already be a little bit on the late side, but having cash reserves to pay 3 or 6 months of mortgage, regardless of tenants paying rent, is a really good play. And for people who have a lot of units, that's a ton of money.
Right.
And so it's even harder seemingly to get that for people who actually look good on paper with having a lot of paper equity. What I saw is I bought rentals from people who couldn't hold on to them in the last recession. And so I essentially profited from people who were less regimented in having reserves. And I could see that happening again. And I think the advice for all of us is to not be sailing too close to the wind in terms of not having enough cash to cover 2, 3, 6 months of rent, mortgage payments.
I mean, hopefully this is all going to pass quickly, but I think at a minimum, the next 3 months are going to be tough for everybody, where I think we're going to have a lot of issues, and, you know, hopefully this is all going to clear up, but, you know, definitely I think whatever anyone can do to cut expenses and just run a lean, mean operation for the next 3 to 6 months. And I think that's going to really, really help everybody. Now let's talk about the opportunity that may present itself, that obviously some people are going to lose properties, or, you know, maybe they're in some distress. Like, when do you think opportunities might show up where maybe we can profit off this?
I think the opportunity always trails. So all the properties I bought during the last recession were bank-owned foreclosures. And so that's a year lag from when the person exhausts whatever savings they have and can't pay their mortgage anymore. And I think with the last recession, the foreclosure timelines got tightened up. So back then it was a year. It might only be 3 to 6 months this time around, but it's still a lag. And then coronavirus is interesting because at its root, it's kind of a version of the flu. And we typically see the flu kind of evaporate once it gets warm out. Mm-hmm. So I'm really hoping that it just goes away.
Yeah.
But I think we've had a like 12-year cycle of pretty healthy housing since the last recession. And that's a longer upswing than we've had in the past between recessions. And I always used to wonder, like, what would cause the next one? And there wasn't anything structurally in the economy. And maybe it's something as out of the blue as coronavirus that caused this one.
It's crazy, yeah. Because it's like 6 months ago, no one had even heard of this. It didn't even exist. I mean, so it's crazy how this kind of crept up on us, and it is really wreaking havoc. All right, so it doesn't sound like you're very concerned right now, and as we're recording this here on March 16th, it doesn't seem like you're too concerned with any kind of contact with people. But if things were to change, you know, maybe if the virus starts to be everywhere and a lot of people are sick, do you think that there might be problems with getting repair people out to properties?
It's a really interesting question. And it's my first real pandemic, but I had a tenant, very neat freak tenant, contact me this morning that she has a mouse and she wants pest control to come. And they're usually booked a week in advance. And who knows what the status of coronavirus is next week and if they'll still be doing house visits. And all of that is something we can't even predict. It's crazy.
Yeah, it really is. Okay, so just to summarize everything, I think that we brought up some good points today. So, so definitely try to be proactive with your tenants. Reach out to them. Open that line of communication. I think that's going to be really helpful to get you through this. Make sure that you try to cut whatever expenses you can. I think the next 3 to 6 months are going to be very tough for everybody. So try to cut some expenses, try to save some money. I would say be careful with contact. Fleming doesn't seem too concerned with that, but you know, I think that's a personal thing. But it, you know, take whatever precautions you can, hand sanitizer. Is there anything else?
I love the old Chinese adage that every challenge at its root has a huge opportunity. And so I think our job as real estate investors is to have an open mind and open eyes and to look at where we can actually benefit and where we as investors can do it in ways that are non-predatory and in a way that actually improve the world. And I think that's out there. And so I'm going to keep my eyes open for that.
I love that. Well, Fleming, you've written a couple of books. I know we've mentioned these books on the show before, but these are really good books. Can you tell us a little bit about what you've written?
Yes. My first book was Buy Your First Investment Property Fast, 7 Steps to Successfully Acquire Rental Real Estate. And that one is really about wealth as a spiritual journey. You can do wealth through doing good and how to evaluate kind of more single family type properties and condos. And then last year, I wrote a second book, The Investor's Guide to Passive Income from Real Estate Partnerships. And it's basically for higher net worth people who don't necessarily know real estate well, how they can participate in a group acquiring large income properties like 100-unit apartment buildings.
I have read Fleming's books. They are really good. He's a really good writer. If you want to check him out, I've got links to him on the website. You can find it at rentalincomepodcast.com/episode254.
Thank you so much, Dan. It's been a pleasure, and your podcast is the best.
I'd like to thank today's sponsor for making this episode possible. It's Chaley Ridge from Ridge Lending Group. If you are a brand new investor and you find a great deal and you want to buy your first rental property or you want to add to your portfolio, or even better yet, if you have rental properties and you want to take advantage of today's super low rates and you want to refi, the lender that I recommend is Chaley Ridge from Ridge Lending Group. She is a nationwide lender and she specializes in helping investors buy and refinance rental properties. She's got a ton of different loan programs. I definitely recommend you reach out to Chaley. If you have a rental property, definitely see what she can do. She can probably save you a lot of money by refining. This is a perfect time to get those payments down and make your rentals more profitable. If you want to set up a time to talk to Chaley personally, just go to ridgelendinggroup.com. That's RIDGE. lendinggroup.com. If you mention Rental Income Podcast, she will waive all the pre-qualification fees. NMLS 42056. Thank you so much for listening to the podcast. If this is your first time here, make sure you subscribe. We've got new interviews every single Tuesday. My name is Dan Lane, and this has been the Rental Income Podcast.